Welcome to the Great Loop Radio Podcast, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. I'm Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about weather and the National Weather Service and how they can be helpful in general, but also specifically for boaters and loopers. So our guest will be Chip Casper. He is the meteorologist in charge in Key West, and he's got a much fancier title than that. I'll let him share a little bit with you about his title and his duties. But before we bring him into the conversation, I do want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes and Associates, Great Loop Yacht Sales, Passagemaker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with our sponsor recognition behind us, I would like to officially welcome Chip Casper to Great Loop Radio. Thanks for joining me today, Chip.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, greatly appreciate your time. This actually came about because you were kind enough to give some of our members a tour there at NOAA and the National Weather Service when they were in Key West. So let's start off. You know, they were so impressed with the information that you shared and what your team does there that they really thought it would be of interest to all loopers. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at the National Weather Service.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the meteorologist in charge here at the Key West office, which is a weather forecast office. You know, the Weather Service has actually 122 weather forecast offices in the field that cover all the United States and its territories. 47 out of those 122 are actually providing marine weather services, forecast warnings, and that's from the Pacific to the Atlantic, the Gulf Coast, and the Great Lakes. And so our office really covers all the Florida Keys and the adjacent coastal waters, as well as the Straits of Florida between here and Cuba, parts of the southeastern Gulf of Mexico, Florida Bay, and then even out close to the Bahama Banks. So I oversee a team of about 21 meteorologists and technicians that work out of our facility here in Midtown Key West, Florida, and we're 24/7, 365 operation. And basically, the mission of the National Weather Service is to provide data, information, and knowledge of weather, water, and climate so that people can make decisions that protect life and property. You know, we're a public service agency, and your tax dollars support our operation.
Excellent. And as I said, you had given some of our members a tour there in Key West. How did that come about? Was that your first encounter with loopers, or have you been, finding loopers there in Key West for a while now?
I've been familiar with the loopers for quite some time. Before I fell into this role as meteorologist in charge, which I've been for the last 6 years, I was the head of our marine weather program here in the Keys for over a decade. I've actually been down here for over 25 years working for the Weather Service. So as the marine program leader, I really came into contact with mariners from across the spectrum. Of course, we work very closely with our partners at the U.S. Coast Guard and with the other state and local marine agencies. But we also, through, you know, educational activities and just interacting, you know, with our customer base, I came in contact with a lot of boaters, cruisers, sailors. You know, we try to have a presence at the local seafood festivals and some of the other festivals where, you know, cruisers and sailors would tend to visit and congregate. And so just through those eyeball-to-eyeball interactions, I would come to learn about some of their activities and their ventures and their challenges, especially when it comes to weather. And then I would hear this term, you know, the Great Loop, the looper. And I'm like, what is that? And this was probably, you know, years ago. And then I came to learn that it was this unique circuit around the waterways of the eastern United States. So that was kind of my first encounter. And then, you know, this group, basically I got an email, you know, I think around Christmas time or whatever it was. And they said they'd be in town and a bunch of them were really interested in visiting our facility. And so of course, you know, I was happy to accommodate that. And I had them all here for a couple hours. It was a really good visit.
Yeah, I love that. And thank you for taking that time with them. But, you know, weather is probably the main thing, the biggest thing that can impact a looper's trip just about anywhere, even when they're, when they're not in open water and not expecting it, is still sometimes the weather is the biggest thing. And of course, a big concern is hurricanes, and hurricane season is right around the corner now. I'm actually in the Fort Myers area on the boat right now. Most loopers have started to head north, largely to escape hurricane season. But on the local news this morning, there was talk of a something going on out there starting to brew that is a very small chance of becoming anything. But it was just kind of a reminder that yep, we're still at least for us personally, you're still here in the hurricane zone. So with it right around the corner, I would assume it's a particularly busy time at NWS Key West. Anytime people ask us about the weather, we always just say, we don't have our crystal ball. But since you are the meteorologist in charge, maybe it's a more fair question for you than to most people, I would ask. But what's kind of your thoughts? What's your prediction for this upcoming season?
Yeah, living and working and playing in the Florida Keys, which is really year to year, one of the most prone areas to tropical storms and hurricanes. It almost doesn't matter what the outlook is among the seasonal forecasters, because really, if you look at our history, it's really not a matter of if we're going to be affected by a tropical storm or hurricane, or it's when we're going to be affected, and it's, on average, we have a hurricane within 150 miles of here about once every, 2.5 years. So, this is sort of part of the fabric of life in the Keys, is to be aware of the hurricane risk, be prepared, especially before the season gets going, because things can happen quickly, and, especially if you own a boat or you live on a boat, your risk is higher than most folks. So, and a lot of those preparations you have to do should be done during the daytime, obviously. And so then all of a sudden that reduces the time that you need to prepare. And especially if you want to haul out or sortie to another location. So you really, and most loopers and cruisers and sailors and boaters I know are very well aware of this. And so you really have to kind of pay attention this time of year. And and in this location, more than ever. So there are a lot of different seasonal forecasts for activity in general across, the Atlantic Basin and other basins. And you're already starting to see some of the university researchers and predictions come out, indicating a potentially very active hurricane season. The official NOAA seasonal outlook, and NOAA does one, it will come out around the middle or late part of May. And so we'll see that. And it probably will be very similar, indicating a higher number than average of tropical storms, hurricanes, and major hurricanes. But a couple caveats about the seasonal forecast is, number one, these predictions are just for numbers across the basin as a whole. They're not predicting landfall locations. We just can't do that. We're not capable of providing that level of skill and accuracy there. So it's really just a number of storms across the basin. That's from Africa to the United States and the Caribbean. Number two, the forecast, they've gotten better over the years, but they're still, the accuracy of a seasonal forecast isn't like that of one of a 5 day or 7 day forecast, right? So there's a lot of errors there. And number three, they're not predicting impacts or potential impacts for particular locations, for particular groups of people. And so, they are a good reminder that it's coming. June 1st is going to be here before you know it, and it's really important to have a plan before you're in the cone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mentioned that most of this season's loopers are kind of heading north already. But Florida is the boating capital. And even if this year's loopers are heading out, we've still got lots of loopers who do stay in Florida, lots who fall in love with Florida's waterways while they're on the loop and kind of settle here afterwards. So we know we've got lots of boaters in the area. The good news is, as you mentioned, there are 5 and 7 day forecasts. We can generally get a pretty good warning about a hurricane, although we all know the paths can shift, kind of at the last minute. But walk us through what it's like on a daily basis during hurricane season. You're looking for storms. What's it like with you and your team there, just kind of watching what's happening out there in the ocean waters?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, we're busy, and a lot of what we do is structured day to day. We're mandated. A lot of folks don't know we're mandated by Congress to provide specific forecasts for aviation users, marine users, fire weather users. And so with marine weather forecasts specifically, we're providing coastal waters forecasts every 6 hours, so 4 times a day at least. And the local forecast offices are doing that essentially for the coastal waters, basically within 60 nautical miles of shore. But we also have parts of the Weather Service that are providing forecasts for offshore beyond 60 nautical miles, and then even into the high seas for, transoceanic shipping. So there's two entities that do those offshore forecasts. One is the Ocean Prediction Center in College Park, Maryland, and they're really looking at those offshore forecasts for sort of the mid-latitude, not the tropical regions, but kind of 30 degrees and north for both the Atlantic and the Pacific. And then another group that's actually co-located with the National Hurricane Center in Miami, called Tropical Analysis and Forecast Branch, or TAFB, they're doing the same thing for those offshore forecast areas of the Atlantic and the Caribbean and the Eastern Tropical Pacific, basically over the subtropical and tropical waters. And so between those two groups and then all the forecast offices handling the nearshore forecast, the Great Lakes, we're providing these marine weather services on a daily basis. In addition, we do at the forecast office special marine warnings, and that's what we actually call them, special marine warnings, for thunderstorms, violent squalls, fast moving cold fronts, things like that. And so these are more short-term based warnings that are looking out, maybe in the next 20 minutes to an hour. Whereas the general forecasts are for a 12-hour period, and we typically go out about five days, and then 7 days for an outlook. Our forecast horizon is typically 7 days, and then each day we add on top of that.
Yeah. So once a storm is developing, how is that monitored and how often is that monitored? You mentioned you're forecasting every 6 hours, but how often is that data being collected on the storm's intensity and its path?
Yeah, another great question. So in the Weather Service, we have a lot of different components working together. And so I mentioned the field offices, like the one here in Key West. There's 122 of those, 47 that handle marine weather. Then we have different national centers for expertise in specific areas. And I mentioned a couple for marine for the offshore forecast. There's another one for hurricanes specifically. That's the National Hurricane Center. You've heard of that. That's a Weather Service group up in Miami. And their sole focus is on the forecasting, the monitoring and the forecasting of tropical storms and hurricanes, specifically the track, the intensity, and the structure. And then when a storm approaches the coast, then we start working almost hourly, several times a day, collaborating video, text, whatever. And then the local offices, we're really looking at the hazards specifically and the impacts. And the main hurricane hazards, of course, in addition to marine weather, are the damaging sustained winds around the core, tornadoes and waterspouts in the outer rain bands, rainfall flooding, and storm surge, which is actually the number one killer. The Hurricane Center is really looking every day across what we call the main development region and then even beyond for any seedling, any possible system or area of spin or cloud cluster that could have the potential to eventually evolve or intensify into a tropical depression, tropical storm, or hurricane. And so they have somebody or a group of people on duty constantly. Satellite's a big tool now. And the modern satellites are just incredible in terms of their power of resolution, ability to use multiple channels to monitor developing weather. They also use buoys and data from ships, data from cruisers and sailors or whoever's willing to share. Along the coast, you have the radar, the Doppler radar network. And there's also special instruments aboard some of the satellites that use basically a type of radar that can actually monitor the sea surface. And so you can look at waves and winds on the sea surface. And so they're monitoring this. And coming up on May 15th, we'll start issuing what's called a Tropical Weather Outlook, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with. And this Tropical Weather Outlook will be issued every 6 hours. And if there's really no systems that are of concern, it'll just say, nothing expected for the next 5 days or 7 days now. And then if there's something, then they'll have a couple descriptive lines about it and some probabilities for, the intensification into a tropical depression. So once something has been identified that's a candidate for developing into a tropical cyclone, then they'll start advisories on that system specifically. That's when you'll get the cone, right? So they'll start advisories, they'll start 5 day forecasts with a cone graphic, wind speed probabilities for 34 knots, 50 knots, 64 knots if it's relevant. And then, sort of the system will start, and they'll do that every 6 hours until it gets close to the coast. Then they'll start increasing the frequency of those advisories, because you have more data along the coast typically. And that's kind of a general description of how that process works.
Yeah. One thing you mentioned in there, Chip, was collecting data from cruisers and anybody who's willing to share. How can cruisers kind of help with that? How can they collect that data and share it with you?
Yeah, I would just there's a couple kind of entry points in terms of websites and contacts that you should be familiar with. For the Weather Service, our main website is weather.gov, weather.gov, as in government, weather.gov, not weather.com. That's another entity, but weather.gov. And if you go to weather.gov/marine, then you'll get kind of opened up into the marine world. And if you go to that website, you can click all along the coast. And like if you go down to Key West or the Florida Keys and you click on that area of the map, you'll go right to our local marine weather website. And on that, you'll have contacts for our marine program leader, Chris Rothwell, and myself, and you'll see that with all the other offices too. So if you go to weather.gov/marine, that's a good way to find contacts and connect with somebody that can answer that question.
Yeah. And
In your specific.
if there's specific, is there specific weather, kind of on the ground information that you would want boaters to share with you?
We're always interested in just like boaters and loopers, we're always interested in wind and sea state because we just don't have enough intel on that. Right here in the Florida Keys, for example, our forecast area is, almost 25,000 square miles. And, we have a few sites along the Florida Reef Tract here that are good for wind. But really, we have one buoy operated by Scripps Institute of Oceanography and funded by the Army Corps of Engineers about 9 miles southwest of Key West. But if you look at across the vast majority of the Straits of Florida or the Gulf of Mexico, there's very little data available. We get a little bit from satellite a few times a day, but really there's nothing to replace that ground truth or what we like to call sea truth. And so wind and sea state are really two of the big items, but we'll take any kind of information about the weather, whether it's waterspouts that you see or thunderstorms or different cloud formations, but wind and sea state are most important.
Okay, great. Let's take a moment and take a play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, we'll kind of wrap up the talk on hurricane season, because that's of course on everybody's mind right now. And we'll talk a little bit more about, what general resources you offer for everyday weather while you're boating. So we'll be back in a moment.
The Boat Galley will make your boat life better. They offer 8 online courses on topics related to living on a boat, such as how to store everything you'll need, living with a smaller fridge, taking a dog with you, and effective use of your VHF. Their quick reference cruising guides will simplify your life underway, giving quick answers to questions like, where's the next fuel stop? Or how high is that bridge? The Boat Galley Cookbook and its 800 boat-friendly recipes, including 75 Docktail Appies and 40 drinks, will make cooking aboard a snap. Get 10% off purchases with code AGLCA.
Good morning, loopers. Many of you are probably already cruising in southeastern waters, and that is where the Salty Southeast Cruisers Net focuses all of its efforts to help you enjoy your time on the water. So as you prepare for the next leg of your journey, and as your resource for accurate, timely, and useful information, we want to invite you to use and add your knowledge to the wealth of information that's available through the Cruisers Net in its directories for marinas, bridges, and anchorages, as well as the latest fuel prices in your area. Our mission of Cruisers Helping Cruisers, may we invite you to help those following in your wake by sharing with us your cruising experiences. Thank you. Have a great day.
We're back on the Great Loop Radio podcast. My guest today is Chip Casper. He is the meteorologist in charge in Key West for the National Weather Service, which is part of NOAA. And he's kind of filling us in on all of the things that our government offers us as boaters for marine weather forecasts, which is extremely useful information and something that we encourage our boaters and our loopers who are out there on the water to be in touch with every day to check the forecast. Even if you're doing a passage that's, you know, inside on the intracoastal, the weather is still going to impact your cruising. Even once you get, you know, far inland, if you're going through locks, the winds can have a big impact on that. So always be abreast of the weather while you are out there cruising. And marine weather is a little bit different often than general forecast. So Chip, talk a little bit about, you know, let's look at watches and warnings. And obviously a lot of us think of those and pertain to hurricanes, but there can be watches and warnings any day of the year for different events. So, you know, what are the kinds of things boaters should look out for? You know, how do you determine when to issue a watch or a warning for a particular weather condition?
Yeah, Kim, that's another great question. I'm glad you brought that up. So watches and warnings, and a lot, the Weather Service has been issuing watches and warnings for decades. And so, but there's still some confusion around them. So let me just kind of go over what they mean real quick. Basically, a watch is sort of the get ready. You know, it's, hey, we think there's the potential for something happening, whether it's hurricane conditions, a tornado, a severe thunderstorm, a flood, et cetera. So a watch is sort of the, okay, we're on alert, we're watching, right? There's potential for something hazardous to occur. It hasn't occurred yet, but the probability has gone up to the point where we want people to kind of be aware and even take action. A warning is go, okay? It's coming, we see it. It's coming in the short term, and you know, that's kind of the clear and present danger, act now, okay, to protect life and property. So a watch is kind of get ready, a warning is go. Within the context of hurricanes, because we've been talking about those, a hurricane watch or a tropical storm watch is generally issued about 48 hours before the onset of tropical storm force or gale force sustained winds. With the idea that once those winds reach, the sustained winds reach gale force or tropical storm force, which is about 40 miles an hour, 34 knots, then it becomes unsafe to prepare further. So that's about a 48-hour window. Now, the reality is that for a lot of mariners and loopers, you might have to be taking action before then, you know, and so that's why you kind of want to constantly be monitoring what's going on during hurricane season, because you know it may be necessary to act before then, or depending on what marina you're at, et cetera, or what action you're going to take, haul out, sortie, et cetera. But by 48 hours, that's generally when the watch is issued. The warning is 12 hours subsequent to that, so 36 hours before the onset of sustained tropical storm or gale force winds. So those are the definitions. We have another one that's more recent called a storm surge watch and storm surge warning. And the timelines are similar, 48 and 36 hours, 48 for the watch, 36 for the warning. Storm surge is basically, when we talk about a storm surge watch or warning, we're talking about the potential for life-threatening storm surge flooding. You know, storm surge is the rise of the ocean where it causes flooding over land. And so generally, if we're looking at a potential for areas along low ground to go 3 feet or higher of inundation or flooding, then you're going to see a storm surge watch or warning. Watches or warnings, they're not just issued automatically or haphazardly. We really are very thoughtful and deliberate in the Weather Service, you know, with watches and warnings, because essentially they're risk communication messages that really we really want people to be aware of. And so when we're issuing hurricane or tropical storm or storm surge watches and warnings, you know, there's a lot of collaboration going on between the local forecast offices, the hurricane center, and even our partners in emergency management and the Coast Guard to make sure that we're kind of on the same page and we're communicating this risk that we think is important enough that we want to put this out on all channels for people to know about.
Mm-hmm. So kind of focusing in on when we're out there boating, I'm just kind of a normal day of cruising, you know, not a big water crossing, but what are some of the best resources you think that NWS offers for boaters for every day, you know, for them to check before they leave the dock?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, every boater I know, including myself, will, you know, kind of look out the window, right? And, and you see how that palm tree's blowing, and you already have a good idea of, look, based on that, what's going to be happening in the very short term. But I certainly would, you know, in the weather service at our marine forecast offices, you know, we take a lot. We have, first of all, we have a lot of expertise, a lot of professional expertise, and a lot of technology and tools that go into forecasting weather. I know in our Key West office, this is really something we take pride in. It's something we do multiple times per day, every day. We have people here that have been doing it for years. And so I would just encourage people to go to that weather.gov/marine website and look at your local coastal waters forecast. There's several different ways that you can have that presented to you. You can get the old school text forecast where you kind of just read a description for what wherever you're at, whatever zone you're in. You can click on a map and get a kind of a point and click, we call it, forecast, that's a little bit more granular in terms of detail. And you can get hourly weather graphs for wind and sea state and, you know, rain chances and sky cover, heat index, whatever you want on there. So I would just encourage folks to go on that website, click on your location and play around with that a little bit. There's a lot of weather apps out there in the sort of the private weather industry sector that people look at, and everybody has their favorite, you know, and that's fine, I think, for everyday use as well. A lot of that information comes directly or indirectly through the weather service. But I will say, when it comes to decision-making for life purposes, safety of life purposes, you really want to come directly to the trusted sources. And again, that's for everyday, weather.gov/marine. For hurricanes, hurricanes.gov, hurricanes.gov will bring you directly to the National Hurricane Center, and you will get a wealth of information on there to help you assess your risk and determine, you know, what the potential impacts for your area are. And I would just encourage you, there's more information out there than ever before. And the men and women with the National Weather Service, whether it's in the field or at the Hurricane Center, are some of the best in the world at doing this. And so I don't think you're not going to find a secret sauce anywhere. You know, these folks up at the Hurricane Center are professionals. They're the best in the world at do it. They have the numbers to prove it. You're not going to find anything better when it comes to hurricane forecasting. And if your life depends on it, and if you're on the water in a boat, it does, please go to these trusted sources directly. And for goodness sakes, never stay on a boat during a hurricane. I just want to emphasize that. Never stay on a boat during a hurricane. I don't care how experienced you are, what kind of vessel you have. This is not a good idea anytime. Please have a strategy to get out of harm's way.
Absolutely. I appreciate you mentioning that. You also mentioned the apps, the different apps that are out there. And yeah, I think some of us, you know, find certain ones more intuitive than others. But what's striking to me is when we have our events and we bring in presenters, you know, about Chesapeake Bay or the Great Lakes or, you know, crossing the Gulf of Mexico, they always refer back to the National Weather Service data. And, you know, I know for some of those bigger waters, there are specific kind of operational forecasts. I may be using the wrong term there. But you know, for the big water, are the resources different, or is it basically just more, you know, more sea state kind of data because you're on Lake Michigan, for example, instead of in Paducah?
Yeah, you know, I think the farther you get out, I guess, from shore, probably the less granular you're going to have the data and the forecast, right? There, I mean, if you're out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, there's less data. There's also less interference with land. The weather can, and your listeners certainly know this, the weather near shore can get really complicated with, you know, land and sea breeze circulations, thunderstorm outflows, you know, areas of fog developing in certain spots. Even the water temperature can kind of affect the momentum transfer down and the wind gusts in certain areas. And, you know, this is especially true near shore along the Gulf and Atlantic coasts, and definitely the Great Lakes. I grew up near the Great Lakes, and as a kid would be out there frequently and was just amazed at how volatile the wind and the weather can be up there.
Yeah. So I think that's a good place for us to wrap it up for today. Hopefully all of our listeners, you know, are clearly getting the message that the weather is the biggest thing that can impact your loop or boating in general. So even if you're not currently on the loop, but you are in the hurricane prone areas, it's certainly time to start making a plan. So Chip Casper with the National Weather Service, thank you for joining me today. I know you're super busy and I really appreciate you carving out some time for us. And thanks for sharing all this great information.
Thank you, Kim. It was great to be with you today.
Thanks. And for our listeners and viewers, thanks for joining us once again. We'll be back next week with another episode of the Great Loop Radio podcast. Until then, safe cruising.